I'm Mohawk Matt, and this is By Hair, Land, and Sea, where we will bridge the gap and have conversations that need to happen. After spending 13 years, both as an active duty Marine and then a Navy civilian, I am now on a mission to serve our nation by providing a megaphone for the right people at the right time. Join me and my guest as we remove barriers so that you can do what you do best. Be awesome. See you in the trenches. What's going on, everybody? So I'm super excited to bring another conversation about some incredible stuff that's going on in the Navy that people just don't know about. I took advantage, didn't fully know that it existed, and I'm going to stop talking so you can learn from the expert herself. And today I've got Captain Christy Montgomery. Christy, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm super excited to have you because you do something that's very technical. I don't want to slaughter what you do. So I'm going to have you introduce, tell us what you do and what your title is right now in the Navy.
Yeah, sure. So I am the commanding officer of the Fleet Numerical Meteorology and Oceanography Center. We operate in Monterey, California, and Stennis Space Center, Mississippi.
Okay.
And we, the Navy's assured atmospheric and oceanographic models. So similar to how you might have an app on your phone, the Weather Channel,
sure,
you're pulling up the model, right? Or if you're in Hurricane Central, you might be looking at the spaghetti models, trying to pick which one you want. So my command produces that modeling information, that environmental information on behalf of the Navy. So law and Title 10 code actually mandates that the Secretary of the Navy provide for fleet safety,
okay,
by doing numerical weather and ocean prediction. And so my command is fulfilling that role for the Navy.
I was about to ask, why does that matter?
There you
and
go.
Safety.
Yeah, fleet safety. Safety, 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 right? So there's a great book called Typhoon, and it talks about the sinking of a lot of the Navy fleet because of a typhoon in the Western Pacific. And that really was a bell ringer, I think, for a lot of folks to understand that maybe these accidents or these incidents of fleet safety could be prevented or predicted even, you know, hey, let's maneuver the fleet away from this tropical cyclone that could do a lot of damage.
That's kind of important.
It's kind of important.
I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. So so I was in 2011, I was in Okinawa for the earthquake tsunami.
Yes.
So very, I mean, not typhoon.
No.
But very familiar with that scenarios. And on the Marine side, like, I didn't know because somebody else was figuring it out for me.
Yeah.
Probably people from your command.
Yeah.
Was telling us where to go and where not to go.
Yeah. Particularly because in events like that, you know, there are things released in the atmosphere that you really want to avoid, right?
Yes.
Understand how those particles might be drifting in the atmosphere based on the wind, a prevailing wind direction. And so our team was on the scene right there on the carrier of trying to understand where that sort of radiation plume, for example,
yeah,
was headed so we could keep our sailors safe.
Well, I meant, so what is it that you guys do now? So there's the meteorological weather side, and I believe they're giving that data to you. Is that incorrect, wrong?
So actually, we receive a lot of data, over 48 million data observations a day.
Wow.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
A lot of that data is coming from space-based environmental satellites. And so those satellites collect a lot of information on the Earth system, and then they send those to ground stations, and then we pull in all of that data, 93%. Of the data that we ingest is satellite data. And so we pull that in and we crunch it and we quality control it. And then we assimilate it into basically a snapshot of this is the Earth at this point in time.
Wow.
And then a lot of really smart people that work at my command, PhDs and just amazing people, they take that data and they use algorithms and models to forecast what the future is going to look like,
okay,
based on the laws of physics and some other really cool things.
Some things that smart
some
people
equations,
know about. Yeah.
Some cool stuff, right? But then they can then predict the future state of the environment.
Okay.
And I think from a military perspective, that's really what we're interested in.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, and I was talking to some of your colleagues about how the weather's used in tactical advantages, something I never even thought about. And it's not just like, is it sunny today?
Sure.
It's like, no, how can we use this to our advantage to whatever we're getting involved in?
Absolutely. From something as simple as if you're putting divers in the water, is it going to be, do they need to wear a wetsuit or a dry suit? Is there going to be a current under the water that is so strong they won't be able to swim ashore? Is there going to be cloud overhead so that maybe adversaries that are trying to see what the Navy's doing can't see what they're doing? So how can we utilize the weather? We always say avoid weather, but maybe we want to utilize the weather for a tactical advantage, right?
Well, I love how you hit that of the undersea and in the air.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you guys, I think the Oceanography Command has like a phrase. What is it you guys
always say? From the bottom of the ocean to the stars?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we were, Lieutenant Dixon and I were just talking about this morning, you know, talking to some folks, they think their area of operations is maybe a fleet. But for naval oceanography, our area of operations is exactly that, from the bottom of the ocean to the stars. So we have commands that keep the precise time. They do astrometry. So
what is astrometry?
What is astrometry,
yes,
right?
I'm interested.
So, you know, you have to know where the Earth is in relative space to the other planets, or particularly for geostationary satellites. So the satellites that provide us our internet or whatever, they have to know where they are in space.
You mean it doesn't just happen?
It doesn't.
Like, I thought it just, the internet just came from my phone and just worked.
You know, like, there was a comedian, a talk show one night, and he was talking about somebody getting frustrated because their cell phone took a long time to load. And he's like, it has to go to space. Give it time.
That.
But yeah, so astrometry helps. It's basically taking a picture of the stars, which relatively are immobile in space, right? So it's understanding how the Earth is positioned relative to fixed objects way far in space.
Okay.
And then getting our position from that and then relaying it to our satellite constellation and other things to make sure that they know where they are relative to the Earth. It's pretty cool.
I mean, a star chart. It's extremely cool. I think I'm going to stick to podcasting because astrometry is that, like, my brother got all the math. But I think it's fantastic. I think it's
awesome.
So cool because it's something that probably we thought of thousands of years ago that they used that, but we're still using that right now. We have better technology, but we're still using the stars.
We are. And in fact, the U.S. Naval Observatory, they're on an historic landmark in Washington, D.C. They have this amazing library, and they have an original book by Copernicus. So
wow.
We're talking about how long we've been doing this. Copernicus, right, was looking at the motion of celestial bodies. And from that research, so many hundreds of years ago, you know, we today are looking at how do we measure where the Earth is relative to stars? How do we understand how the Earth wobbles? Do you know the Earth wobbles around its axis? And the U.S. Naval Observatory is the DOD manager of the Earth Orientation Framework. So how the Earth is wobbling in space.
Wobbly Earth. There you go.
And the atmosphere, you know, that we think where it rains and it's cloudy, it's massive, and it actually creates a friction component on the rotation of the Earth. So we provide, my command provides information back to USNO to say, this is what the atmosphere is doing to the Earth's wobble today.
That is a phrase I never thought I would have a conversation about in my entire life.
The Earth's wobble.
The Earth's wobble. Is that like a new song coming out?
I feel like it should be.
By your command?
Yeah, you know. Let's see if we can get that.
I mean, there's a wobble already.
I know.
And so, like, we got to start writing that down. Like, let's put it together. Me and you, we come with.
I'm ready.
Earth wobble.
Ready.
2022.
Where's my Grammy?
Stay tuned. It's coming out soon. Grammy? We're going for Grammys?
I mean, why not?
Might as well.
Let's shoot big.
Let's shoot for the stars, right?
Right, exactly.
That's how you operate.
That's how we go.
So, tell us about some of your people. You've probably got some pretty smart, incredible people that work in your organization.
I do. So my command is actually predominantly government civilians. So Department of Navy civilians,
okay. They
have experience in oceanography and meteorology and computer science. So it takes a lot of really talented oceanographers and meteorologists to understand the physics, all those equations, understand how small changes and how you solve those equations impact the outcome of the prediction. We also run a high performance computing system. So we are what's called a special purpose processing node, but we have racks of servers in a really cold room that we run all these computers on. So a good portion of my workforce is actually IT. So they're the 2210 series, and they're amazing. They keep everything humming and fixing it, and they're always, you know, trying to find new solutions. In fact, my IT team is with me today, and they're trying to find, you know, new opportunities with industry to advance what we're doing in the IT realm.
That leads to a great question. So, how What ways should people from industry reach out to you or vice versa? How are you working with them to discover the earth wobble?
Yeah, to discover the earth wobble.
Now that's my new thing I'm stuck on.
Well, you know, computing, we are bumping up against Moore's Law, right? So computing capacity is rapidly coming to a point where you can't get any smaller, you can't compact anything any smaller. But there's some really interesting work in changing from computer processing units or CPUs to GPUs. And that may have an opportunity to see some success and some changes in how quickly we can get numerical modeling done and how much we can do all that data, how fast can we crunch it? So, you know, there's some really interesting players. I know that we've had some conversations with Hewlett-Packard and Microsoft and Amazon and just, you know, really smart people in industry who are looking at these problems for other applications that might be analogous to what we're doing. So we're interested in hearing about what they're doing and understanding how it might fit our organization.
Okay, that's very cool. So let's flip it back on the inside. Why? I mean, there are people in the DoD and the Navy that know who you are and what you do. Obviously, you wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
But what about those that don't? Like, why should people reach out to your command and organization or teams? Yeah. What can they learn and partner with you on?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. So there's this motto, I think, that our community uses, and it says it starts with us, right? And I would say that for a very long time, naval oceanography has just been foundational to every warfare area in the Navy. But we've always been there, and sometimes when you're always there, that sort of presence can be taken for granted. And it can be taken for granted that somebody somewhere is resourcing this, so, you know, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the toilet paper in the pandemic. We always thought the toilet paper would always be on the shelves, right? So for us, it's understanding having other people in the Navy. We are here. We love supporting naval warfare. We love seeing the mission success. We love understanding how we keep sailors and ships safe. That is really what I think motivates a lot of the people. I know at my command, it motivates a lot of my civilian workforce to know that they're really supporting keeping sailors safe and enabling their mission on the other end. And so I would just say, you know, if you think that weather is going to impact anything that you do in the Navy, come and talk to us. If we can't have somebody there to help you out, we can send you some information, and we really want to be a partner to all of those mission areas. Just
definitely
to keep them safe.
I think it's fantastic. So here's your opportunity to share anything else about what you do, your people. Is there anything else you want people to know about the work you do, the command, the people?
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, the people that work at my command have a strong legacy of doing numerical modeling. Our command was established in 1961.
Wow.
We were one of the original nodes on the ARPANET, which was the predecessor to the internet. Yeah. And
hopefully you use the internet now.
We do.
Okay.
We do.
You're not still using the ARPANET?
I mean, you know.
Maybe just for fun.
It was fun.
On the weekends.
Yeah. We still have some of these really old, you know, computers that I would say that we are working on developing some new technology, a new numerical weather model that is really Gucci. And I think it's going to impress a lot of people on how we can support warfighting when and where the information is needed. And so I know my team is really excited about that. And I know that our engagement with industry, but other government agencies like NOAA, for example, is a really strong partner with the Navy, Naval Oceanography. And so we're just excited to bring something new to the forefront and hopefully advance our capabilities across the board.
And then that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Just keep serving who you can and
keep
how to make it
better. Yeah.
Keep getting better. I love that.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I could say I've met Mohawk Matt and I've been on a podcast.
Yes.
It's awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And do you have family, kids?
I do.
You tell them you're famous.
I know. Yeah. They're teenagers, so it's mom.
You're not cool.
You know, like, whatever.
No.
Yeah.
So how do you escape from the Navy? How do you take a break? Is it with your family?
I have two kids in college, and I have one 15-year-old who is still with my husband and I, who's moving around with us. But just spending time with them. We live in Monterey, California, and if you've never been to Monterey, California, there's no lack of things to do, amazing walks to take, hikes to go on.
Yeah.
So just being outside and enjoying the amazing location is really what we enjoy as a family.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So thank you again. Really appreciate you sharing what it is you guys do and the value What is the astronomy word?
Astrometry.
Astrometry.
Yeah, like geometry, but
astrometry. I like it. Another new song coming out.
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
I think we got something
I'll
going here.
My friends in.
All right, let's get it.
From the Naval Observatory.
We'll get, maybe throw some numbers out there in the song, you know?
Yeah.
I think we can make it happen. So, folks, I really appreciate you tuning in. I learned a lot today from Captain Christy Montgomery, and I now know that I should stick to podcasting, not learn about astrometry. They're way smarter people, but I do know that the Earth has a little wobble to it, so I'm excited to learn more about that. I hope you learned a little bit. And one last question for you, Christy, is how can people reach out to your organization, get a hold of you folks, and get in contact with you?
Yeah, so we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. My command has a Facebook page that we're trying to keep really active. We're looking at getting on LinkedIn very soon, or you can look up www.portal.finmoc.navy.mil, and all of our products are at least on the unclassified side available. But yeah, we're in the Facebook sphere at least, but we're getting into the other avenues of Instagram and other.
Fantastic. And if you, there's a lot of Navy out there, so if you can't find them, folks, reach out to me. I'll make sure to put you in contact with them. But thanks again for tuning in. Christy, thanks. It's been fantastic chatting. And everyone else, have a great day.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.